Before we pray, I would like to read a few verses from Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Up to here, let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, with a bowed heart and head, we come into your presence. We come under the covering of the blood of the Lamb, giving you thanks for the reconciliation, redemption, forgiveness, cleansing, and sanctification, for eternal life, for full salvation in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Faithful God, may this service be a service of consecration. May we feel your presence, know your will, understand your word, revealed by your Holy Spirit. Take away all that is disturbing. Take it out of me and from me. Take it out of and from all of us. May your Spirit alone speak, and your word be the lamp on our feet and a light on our path. Faithful Lord, we want you to speak to us in this service, and let us sit at your feet. Lord, give us the attitude as if we were sitting on the Mount of Olives, seeing you and hearing you, allowed to look into your face. Lord, even if we do not see you in the flesh, you are before us as the same yesterday, today, and forever. Give us this attitude. Then you will come to your right, and we will be blessed. We ask you now for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Be thou with us, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We thank the Lord for the privilege that we can believe. And I am convinced that we are being led out of the general faith into the perfect faith. After all, we have been led from a general preaching into the perfect preaching of the Word. And if we judge the spiritual development correctly, then God is moving with us purposefully towards what He has planned for the perfection of His church and what He will bring to pass. I want to emphasize just one more verse from Psalms 33 and then go to 1 Kings 17. That will be our starting point for this afternoon. Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. First Kings 17, last verse. First Kings 17, last verse. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth.
In deinem Munde Wahrheit ist.
Vielleicht hat uns Perhaps this verse does not have the most to tell us at the moment, but we will see in a moment that it will have very, very much to tell us. Two statements are made here. The first, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God. Many can pretend to be a man of God, some even as a great man of God, the other as a special man of God, the third or fourth as a humble man of God. A claim and a justified claim are two different things. Elijah did not just claim to be a man of God. He was a man of God. He did not just claim to bring the word of God, but the word of the Lord had remained truth in his mouth. And I want us to understand this afternoon, because it is laid on my heart by God to make this comparison. We have to establish that the Bible is God's word. At the same time, we find that in all churches and all denominations, the same Bible is read throughout the world, in the Roman, in the Greek Orthodox, in the Coptic, in all the Protestant, and then by all the free churches, up to the last movement, all read the same Word of God. The only question is, whether the Word of God is still truth in the mouths of the representatives of all these Christian directions. I don't need to teach you today that God's Word is the truth, and we all agree on that. But the question is, whether the Word of God remains truth in the mouths of all those who proclaim it. That's what today is all about. Not whether someone comes and says, I preach God's word, and the other says, yes, me too. I've read Psalms 23, yes, me too. That is not the point. We live in a far too serious a time to ignore these things. Firstly, Elijah was a man called by God, a man who heard the voice of the Lord, who did not speak until God had spoken, and did nothing until he had been instructed to do so. The word of the Lord remained truth in his mouth. It was the truth. You know very well that when the Lord God had spoken in the Garden of Eden, the enemy took the word of God. And in so far as that word was in the mouth of the enemy, it no longer remained truth. It was turned upside down. There was still enough word of God, but the original truth expressed in that word was lost. And people had the letter and no longer the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Let us not judge. Let that be as far from us as the east is from the west. But just as well, we want to keep in mind that all mingling must come to an end, and that by the grace of God, we too may recognize and say, as this woman said to Elijah at that time, "Yes, now I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." Because it is about Elijah here, I do want to ask you the question. In the second last verse, in the Old Testament, that is at the end of the prophet Malachi, it is written, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." With that, the promise is given. The woman here had a promise. Her son was raised from the dead. And after this intervention of God, the woman recognized and testified with her lips that this man, this Elijah, is a man of God. I ask you today, have we all understood? And can we say the same of the Elijah that God sent in our day? Can we say with full conviction, "Yes, now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth"? Can we all say that? Can we affirm it with an amen in our hearts? Only those for whom a messenger and a message are sent recognize it. The others do not. And you will always meet people who can say to you, "Yes, surely there was not only one man of God. Just think of brother so-and-so and evangelist so-and-so, and in the man of God so-and-so, consider how many great men of God there have been in this generation." Yes, with that we still agree. But now comes the question, in what mouth has the word of God remained the pure truth? Through whom has God been able to speak in our days? Most have not known the truth themselves and could not preach it. Others, who had recognized certain biblical truths, became afraid that their coffers would no longer be in order and that the masses would no longer come. "I would rather enter the kingdom of heaven as a beggar and have made many beggars rich than die as a rich man and end up where the rich man ended up. Do you understand what this is about? It's not just about, oh, there's a great evangelist coming. That's who you need to hear. Oh, there's healings happening, and there's happening this and that. When God does something, we are very grateful to Him, no matter through whom He does it. And if I make the remark here today, may God forgive me, but I am only repeating what Brother Branham himself said. He literally said, not the evangelist, but the faith of the sick person touches the Lord, and God answers him. And in this context, he mentions it. You can read it yourself in the sermon. When people go to a place of pilgrimage, believing that God will reveal Himself to them there, then God reveals Himself to them there. He literally says that the healing is only linked to faith. There are other things that are tied to obedience. And that's why Paul writes that we want to work obedience of faith among all the Gentile nations. Probably in Romans 16. Here it is about much more than a great man coming and great things happening. We have a right to hear the Word of God as pure truth, not as interpretation, not as what men have made of it, but God's Word as the original seed needs to be planted in our hearts. And then I ask you this afternoon, what great man of God proclaimed all the biblical truths? Who preached the thing about the Godhead with the original sin, with the biblical baptism, and with everything that goes with it? The Elijah whom God sent before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he knew that he would make more enemies than friends. I not only experienced the 60s with him, but also the second part of the 50s, when he was highly celebrated, invited everywhere, and allowed to preach. But then came the revelation about the seven church ages. Then it went from one thing to another, and suddenly he was condemned as a heretic, as a false prophet. People began to warn against him. But one thing we have recognized and testified to, we know that he was a man sent from God, and that the word of the Lord in his mouth was not adulterated, but was the absolute and pure truth. That remains for all eternity. It is one thing to speak of the truth, and another to be penetrated by the truth, and to be in the truth yourself. Yes, now I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. I made the comparison earlier that all the clerics on every Sunday and on every occasion in all the churches and denominations throughout the Christian world read from the same Bible, and they all go in their own direction and all have their own interpretations. Is it like that or is it different? If it is different, then tell me, then I have been living past reality. No, it is like that. And because it is so, God has sent His prophet with His word, so that we may be pulled out of everything and brought back into the truth of the divine word. The prophet Jeremiah says the following on this subject. Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8 from verse 8. How do ye say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly, in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. One can say that we are in possession of the word of God. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and now over 900 different denominations can say that. Surely we are in the word of the Lord, or we have the word of God. And here it says, yes, but it has been made a lie by the lying pen of the scribes. You all know, we once made the comparison here that Saul of Tarsus in the days of the Lord did not sit at the feet of Jesus, but at the feet of Gamaliel. And the great work of God had passed him by as if nothing had happened at all. He was so busy being taught and instructed in the scriptures that he had no time at all to deal with the real fulfillment of the Holy Scriptures. And what was it? Exactly the same as it is today. It has been made a lie by the pen of the scribes. We can be in possession of the Word of God and of the divine law. We can have the Old and New Testament. And when the enemy comes in the same way and leads us by the nose, as he did with Eve, then the Word is no longer in the original form as God spoke it. And at that moment, it is no longer pure and no longer absolute truth, but has been twisted by men. So when the woman said, now I realize that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is pure truth, then let us understand what she was trying to say. Plain and simple, it was not you, but God who spoke through you. You did not interpret and explain. You spoke, and God confirmed it. The word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. The question we all need to ask ourselves now is, not just the big churches and denominations and fellowships, evangelists and preachers, but me to myself and you to yourself. We all have to ask ourselves this question. First and foremost, of course, it is addressed to the preachers of the Word of God. If someone else says a thing that is not quite right, it does not have such a big impact. But when we hear a man of God, like Brother Branham, then the thing must be right. And I tell you, the longer, the more I get so penetrated by this revealed Word of God. I can't describe that to any human being. There were years when I thought, huh, Brother Branham, here you have repeated yourself again, and you have said that before in another sermon. Today, all those thoughts are no longer here. Today, I'm thankful that God spoke in simplicity, because God reveals Himself in simplicity. He does not take a person who can give a polished speech. He takes a person whom He has been able to polish, so that He can speak through him. That is the great difference. Anyone can give a polished speech, but God can only speak through him whom He has been able to polish and make fit. Yes, you are in possession of the divine law, but the lying pen of the scribes has made it a lie. Truth and lie are so close together, and it would appear to the outside world that the lie originated somewhere, perhaps with the truth. No, it is written in the New Testament that no lie is of the truth, because Satan is a liar from the beginning. He cannot create, and he cannot bring God's word in the original. God is creator, and God has spoken his word. Satan takes the word of God and gives it back to people a little differently, and then they no longer have the word of God as pure truth, but a mixed interpretation. Enough of the word of God to keep the people to believe in God, and enough of his own interpretation to put the poison of death in it. And that is the thing we have observed down to this time. Many men of God, let us call them that, why not? They have labored, they have preached, they have shown many people the way to Christ, and in no way do we wish to disesteem this ministry. But it goes a little deeper. It is about more. It's about checking all things against the Word of God and comparing everything to see if it matches. On my last journey, or in January rather, no, in February, the younger brother of a Bible seminar, not in what I wrote about, but in a believing Bible seminar, asked me the question, Brother Frank, how do you explain Genesis 1, 26 to 28, namely the word, let us make man, if you believe in the oneness of God? And I said, Brother, first of all, tell me how many creators there are, one or more? If more than one, I want to know how many. No, he says, there's only one creator. I say, that's what the Bible says, and that's what I believe. Yes, but it says, let us. And I simply told the brother, we were sitting there with some brothers. He was just the questioner. I said, brothers, let's go to the meeting tonight and preach. And they all look at me. I had not answered the question, it seemed, and yet I had answered it. And I said, who is going to preach tonight, you or me? I said, I will preach, and you will listen. And whoever reads Job 38 can see exactly from verse 4 that the Lord God spoke to the angels, to the sons of God, who were present when he founded the earth. The contradiction is in the hearts of men, because they have read theology and have not received God's word in their hearts. The interpretations of the scribes have made the word a lie, have turned the truths of God upside down. But thanks be to the Lord, who has looked upon us in grace and brought us back to his word in these last days. I would like to read from the Gospel of John, very familiar passages to all of us. And yet, in this context, let them speak to all of us, so that we may realize how important it is that God has led us back to his word. And before I read, let me say how important it is that no one interprets anything about the revealed word or puts them together in any way of his own. But let everyone leave each word as it stands and believe it with all his heart. Then there will be no confusion. So it is about the truth, which is God's word. For this I read from John chapter 8, Gospel of John chapter 8, from verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not. I come to the conclusion before the face of God that we, as the church of the word, not as a church of interpretation, but as the church of the word, must come back to the point that every word of God can be confirmed by us who believe God's word from the heart, and that people can see and hear not only our words, but the divine deeds. It was Pilate, after all, who at the end of his grilling still asked, what is truth? John 18, 34. Before that, the Lord Jesus said in John 18, from verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when people are really desperate at this time and ask the question at the end, what is truth anyway? Where is the truth? Who has the truth? Everyone makes the claim to have it. But the claim, as we said earlier, does not justify anyone unless he is justified from God. Not where truth is spoken of, but where it could really enter and penetrate a person's heart and life. Only where people are of the truth. And now comes the question, what is truth? And the Lord has answered this question for us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He not only bore witness to the truth, he was the truth in person. Prophets and men of God not only proclaimed the divine truth of the Word, they were a part of that Word and were fully penetrated with divine truth and with the Spirit of God. And therefore, they could say, thus saith the Lord. And after the Lord has spoken, all questions are answered. I believe that none among those who have been reading Brother Branham's sermons for some time have yet been left in the dark as to where the truth is and who preached it. I do not care to make comparisons, but wasn't I sitting at the same table with all the other great evangelists? Didn't I hear them all? Didn't I translate some of them myself? Didn't one of the greatest of them make me the great offer of being European manager, driving an Opel Capitaine and having an annual or monthly salary that most have never even dreamed of? I'm not speaking as a man who heard something ringing somewhere and doesn't even know where the tower is, but I can do without all towers and all their ringing, for they are towers of Babylon, and the people are kept in confusion in a most pious way, and the precious souls do not deserve this. They are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and God is entitled to have them called out and led so that He can reveal Himself to them. Sure, I was the poorest wretch there was at that time. I had spent all my money on missionary trips. I worked in the mine over 1 kilometer deep and earned my money hard. I preached and worked for 15 years, no matter where or how. I have seen as much gold as you will never see in your life. I worked in a gold mine and earned my money very hard. But then it was all over. I had an old Volkswagen, so I didn't have to look out the window to see the road. All I had to do was to take the floor mat off, because it was rusted through, and then I could see the road. And when such an offer comes, at such a time, and I'm not ashamed to say today, we had iron beds from the social welfare office back then, and we slept on them. Our bedside cabinets were boxes of oranges that I got from there on a Friday after the weekly market, and we decorated them with nice paper so that it looked somewhat reasonable. And at such a time, the man comes to a poor person in Krefeld and asks him to be his big manager, but I was too small for that. And you know, I listened for quite a while. For me, it's not an easy thing this afternoon. I only mention this to tell you that the enemy can come in an hour of testing, and then we will be tested. And I didn't want to take the bite. And he says, listen, I've heard that Cologne is a beautiful city and has a beautiful cathedral. Don't you think we should go on a trip to Cologne together this afternoon? I say, if you wish. And then we went. And we came back. And it almost came to it. It almost came to it. And you know what I did then? I said, dear brother, have you heard from Brother Branham? Oh, he said, listen, that is my bosom friend. So my very close friend in his service in Washington State, in the town so-and-so, God spoke to my heart. That was my beginning in the first place. I said, I'm very happy about that. And I also want to tell you that I am already translating Brother Branham's sermons and intend to publish them. My goodness! You should have heard the same man. He jumped up. His face and tone were completely different. These sermons have already caused so much confusion all over the world. And so he came at me. I said, wait a minute, you haven't hired me yet. I'm not drawing a salary yet. So far, I have as much to say to you as you have to say to me. And I'm here to tell you that this can't work out for us. You find enough people, and they will say, as long as they think they can win you, oh yes, Brother Branham, no one is fit to hold a candle to him. So humble, so blessed of God, so used, what God has done through him, he has done through no other. Many confess that. And then, when it comes to the point, namely to the Word, to the truth of God, suddenly people change and you don't recognize them anymore. What is it? At that time, the woman said to the prophet Elijah, by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. And this we have come to know, that God has sent a man with his revealed word, and the word is the absolute and pure truth. And those who do not accept it have little chance of being set free from error. For our Lord says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We cannot set ourselves free. The truth, the Word of God, accomplishes in us that for which it was sent. And then, in its entirety, it is no longer the work of a man, but the work of our God. You all know, we are certainly living in the very last time, and the coming of the Lord is at the door. Who can still ask, what is truth? Only he who has not yet received Jesus Christ as the divine truth and his word as the divine truth. Everyone speaks of Christ, and you can take my word for that. When I spoke to the medium, she told me to my face, when I told her the things are of the devil, then she said, There is no devil. There is only Christ who reveals himself to us. And you can imagine, I knew she was a medium. It was in Krefeld, De Graaf Street. And I knew straight away that she was in league with Satan. And when I told her it was from the devil, she said, there is no devil. That is an invention to scare people. There is only Christ. Strangely enough, these people do not mention the name Jesus. They only speak of Christ, and it is supposed to have been the Christ who revealed himself to them there. Christ is God revealed in human form. He is the Word made flesh, the absolute truth, and all who are in Christ have been penetrated by this divine truth. Even yesterday, the question was put to me, what about all the things that are done in the name of Father, Son, and Spirit? We have learned by the grace of God what it is all about, and that many things are done under a Christian guise that are not of God. And we want the Lord to come into his own, to really reveal himself to us. And then we have to distinguish where the truth is and what the truth is. And it says here, not only that the Lord Jesus would have said that he who is of God hears the words of God, but John says it in a similar way in John chapter 4. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I read from 1 John 4, verse 5. Here it is not only spoken of truth, but also of the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth is in the truth and leads us into all truth. The spirit of deception comes from the enemy and twists God's word to us. If Eve had the slightest idea of what would happen if she listened to the serpent, she would not have stopped. She would not have engaged in a conversation if she had even the slightest idea of what the story would entail. But he told her, listen, you will be wise, your eyes will open. What good is becoming wise, and what good is it for my eyes to open when I have been separated from God and must die? Do you realize the things the enemy operates with? Oh, you will know good from evil. You will be wise. Your eyes will be opened. Their eyes have been opened. But do not ask me in what way. If Adam had known, even in the slightest way, what it would entail when he listened to what was being said. If he had known, his ear would have been deaf to the voice that was speaking, and he would have remembered the original word of God and said, God has spoken, that is enough. What everyone else has to say, they can say to whomever they want, but not to me. And we see today what a catastrophe has come. All death, all sickness, everything from the beginning has come upon humanity. Our eyes have not only been opened to the fact that we were lost and separated from God. Our eyes have also been opened to the fact that Jesus Christ, who is called the second Adam, died on the cross of Calvary, and that we have found reconciliation and grace. For us, this consideration is about to find and believe in our hearts what God has revealed to us from His Word for this time. And if we read in the prophet Jeremiah that they were in possession of the divine law, Paul elaborates it in the best way in Romans chapter 9. To you belongs the sonship, the covenants, the law. Everything belongs to you. And what does he say? If I could bring you into Christ, I would almost be cast out by a curse to be able to bring you in. They had the law, but they did not recognize the lawgiver who stood before them. You all know, it was the angel of the covenant, and it is written in James somewhere. I see it already in James chapter 4, verse 12. There is only one who is lawgiver and judge, the same one who walked on earth in the body of flesh, was the same one who spoke in the spiritual body there on Mount Sinai, as the angel of the covenant. And if you want to read it, you can also read Acts 7, verses 36 to 38. And many passages that testify to it. Here we see the work of redemption. God has reconciled mankind with Himself. Mankind had sinned in this earthly body, and into this earthly body the Lord entered and paid the price on the cross of Calvary. And you will have to read it again in this sermon, the token. There Brother Branham elaborates and says, in the Old Testament, the blood of the sacrificial animals or the life of these animals could not come back into the human life. The blood was shed as an indication that the blood of the Lamb would be shed. He then elaborates and says that it was quite different with the life of God in Christ. He shed His blood, and His life came into us, because the life is in the blood. Thus it is written. Also this I could read to you with a little difficulty. But you all know that it is written, probably in Leviticus, that the life is in the blood. Here I have it. Leviticus chapter 17. Here it is written, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The life was in the blood. The blood was shed that we might be reconciled, and that the divine life which was in Christ might be in us. And this then is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Brothers and sisters and friends, I only wish that I could have brought to you what has been set forth here this afternoon in a stammering way, as it was shown to me and set forth with connections the moment I was led by the Spirit of God into this subject. Let us believe with all our hearts that God sent the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Let us believe that he was a man sent from God, in whose mouth the word of the Lord was truth. When it comes to eternity, then we must be absolutely certain. Then we need the absolute. And how beautifully Brother Branham put it. He says, "My absolute is the Word of God, and this Word of God I bring to you." And with that we are satisfied and thankful to God that we have been counted worthy to hear this unadulterate, pure, holy, revealed, prophetic word, and that we have been allowed to receive it by grace. Now it must take shape in us. It must become flesh. It must be able to be fulfilled through us what he promised in his word. Let us remember that in the beginning was the word. The interpretation came later. In the meantime, there were many interpretations. And in the end, the word is the same as it was in the beginning. For our Lord is the first and the last. He is Alpha and Omega. And as the church was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And I dare to believe that God is able to do even greater things. For we are to be taken up and meet the Lord. Let us not worry. God will now lead us step by step through the provided sermons. Do not read them only once. Take two or three colored crayons. Maybe you think we don't go to school anymore, where there is a bit of drawing in the first or second year. We are in the school of God. And the word disciple means pupil. It is the same word. We are pupils in the great school of our God. We have received many a prophetic lesson, many a teaching, and when we underline the highlights now, we just want to affirm and say, "Lord, I have now grasped what you have spoken to me and to us." And you will see the blessing of our God will have to come down in a mighty way. All who believed that John was a man sent from God came, heard, and were baptized after they believed. so it is now. We have been taken out of the interim period where everyone could do whatever they wanted. And we have been placed in a phase of which we know exactly that God is now covering the last distance of the way with His church. May we all be able to say from the heart, without any retention, without any reservation, yes, I recognize in truth that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. For my part, I have been able to recognize it gratefully, that the man sent from God has brought the word of the Lord. And I want to carry on this word in this way without giving the slightest interpretation. I do not believe that the called out bride is destined once again to listen to the interpretation of the enemy. I believe, as the Lord has said, he who is of the truth heareth my word. And to those who would not hear, he said, you do not hear me, because you are not of the truth. Dear brothers and sisters, we believe that we are of the truth. Let us take heed that the enemy be not in our ears with other things, but that we may receive God's word in a fine and good heart, and that we may keep it therein. The enemy still speaks through many a man, but I dare say the word of the Lord came to the prophets in the plural, and it came to that prophet in the singular. Not he, but God spoke through him, and he has emphasized it again and again, and we may believe it from the heart. Let no more any scribes or message scholars interpret the truth in any way. Renounce all interpretation. They say, oh, you don't know that yet. There are still things that haven't been translated yet. And when I tell you that when you hear all this, oh, your eyes will open. Yes, sir. Many have already made big eyes. Others will still have them. I know what I'm saying today, and I know that I'm saying it in the name of the Lord. Even though I could not bring it as I received it from the Lord, I ask you to take it all to heart and pay attention to it, for it happens in the same way. Oh, we think there are very humble brothers coming. Oh, they could put their jacket on backwards. They can wear it backwards to appear humble to the outside and give the impression that they draw on abundant resources. I believe that God has drawn on abundant resources, and that in Brother Branham's sermons, the full, absolute and final divine revelation has been given. And just as well, I tell you, whoever is not satisfied with that, with him will happen what happened in the Garden of Eden. You may say, huh, to me? Surely it cannot happen to me. Who are you anyway? I didn't know who you are. Things can happen to us so quickly, and we don't even notice. We can't even gauge the catastrophe, because our eyes can only see in a limited way, and also in the spiritual. May God give grace to me. May He give grace to you. I tell you, there is no eighth messenger, and there is no one left who could claim to carry out a prophetic ministry. The cause of God is given to us and has come to completion in the full revelation of Jesus Christ and His Word. When we have received into our hearts all that God has spoken by the appointed mouth, we need have no more concern, either for the rapture or for the rapturing faith. Do not think that I have been asleep all these years. I have also read and immersed myself in it. But now the time has come when the hour of God strikes, and we are all being led into it step by step. Now it is important not to miss the connection to God's work, to get on board, to go along in the depths of our hearts. God will take care of the rest. May He bless us all from the riches of His grace. Amen.